Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Women of Wildin' Out podcast, you guys.
Baby girl, baby boy.
It's your girl, B. Simone.
What is it, y'all? It's your girl, Pretty V.
What's up, y'all? We're back.
It's your girl, Justina V, with Pretty V and B. Simone.
We about to give y'all a show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we're going to have the Women of Wildin' Out podcast a la carte.
Baby girl and the baby boys that listen, it is the Women of Wildin' Out podcast. It's your girl, B. Simone, and I have my beautiful rap freestyle killer co-host, Justina Valentine.
B, what's up, baby? You know the queen of manifestation. Okay,
you
across your radio station.
No,
what
real.
Up, sis? How's
Hi,
your
baby.
Day going?
Good. I think you look refreshed over there, y'all. Y'all can't
Thanks,
see
girl.
Us, but I have on a robe, a pink polka dot robe, number one. And she has on her little under eye. What are those things called?
You know, when you wear a lot of makeup, they like de-puff you. And I also I had, what a week. By accident, I'm working on my movie and I come home one night and sitting on the couch, mm-hmm. it's a clear jar of the watermelon mm-hmm. candies. And I mm-hmm. love those. Those mm-hmm. are like my favorites. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm tired. I'm not looking where the pack came from. I just open the jar.
Yeah.
I start popping them in. I start mm-hmm. chewing them. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, my man says, yo, you're not eating those.
Oh, and my God. They were edible.
Edible, and it wasn't incredible because I felt like a vegetable. Just a cloud of dread, a drape of dread came over me. And when I tell you,
Justina,
I was tripping my balls off, B, the entire night, shaking, teeth chattering. It was, I don't know about y'all out there, but I hate edibles. I absolutely
Did your boyfriend stay by your side all night
them.
And try to help you?
Girl, he tried lying to me, which I get why he did it. He tried telling me, oh, it's just CBD, you're bugging. Woke up in the morning, read the first thing it said is, this is not CBD. It was THC, all right? And
But he probably was just trying to calm you down.
He was, because it was like the anxiety on top of knowing what I ate, but I was definitely tripping. I got no sleep on a week where I already wasn't getting sleep, so I was not happy. And then, you know, I went through all yesterday on no sleep, but I got through it, and, you know, here we are, Women A Wildin' Out podcast, and that's what we do. Like, we're resilient women. We get through it.
Get up
do it,
and get up.
And it's the movement.
Take on the day.
And that's it.
I've never done an edible. I can't. I be gone
Don't.
Off the regular weed.
Yeah,
I would never
don't
take
do
edibles.
It. It's terrible. You would hate it. Oh. Like, you just have no control over it.
But I wanted to tell you, I saw my VA boo.
Oh, yes. What happened?
It
Fill
was
me in.
So good. He came to Atlanta. I stayed with him for two nights at his hotel.
In the telly.
Right across the street from house. In the telly.
Cute.
We did not have sex, but.
Did
you
kiss?
Know,
we, oh, you. Okay. He was choking, but it wasn't from. He was coughing, but it wasn't from COVID. I get it. Is he a good kisser?
He is a great kisser. Oh my God, I just miss him so much. He's supposed to be coming back next weekend, and he's
Cute.
Just. You know what I really value in men?
What's
that? Something that I really value in him: self-control and discipline. A man, to me, a man without discipline. And so it's just lost. Like, if you don't have any discipline and structure and, like, you know, self-control, it's like you just frivolous with everything.
Right.
From your kids to the job to sex to whatever.
Money.
But
yeah.
Money, you know. So I love that he is just so disciplined and self-controlled, because I wanted to do it. And he was like, wow. No, you said you were celibate. And we said we were taking, yep. He was like, you said you were celibate. We said we were taking this slow. So, you know,
that's
like,
so
let's,
dope.
Anytime we, you know, as adults, we both know, as a girl and a guy, when you rush into shit, sometimes it can be bad. So wait to see, you know, we're still dating and seeing how we like each other. We obviously like each other a lot, but, you know, just trying to get to know the heart before we get to know the dick.
I'm so happy for you. You're all smiley and excited.
Yeah.
Wow. Cute. Well, it sounds like the vibes are good. And speaking of good vibes.
Justina, are you excited about our guest today?
You already know this is my favorite guest of the season. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if we have enough time to run down all the credits, but like executive producer, day one, Nick Cannon's right hand man, Mr. Practice How You Play, Mr. We're Making Cuts, Mr. Who Wants These Episodes.
Oh my God.
You
Mr.
know what I mean?
What is it called? Navy SEAL.
Yes.
Whatever the fuck all you that. Go through when you're going through that training. That's how I felt. I was about to be in the military.
Right. The one, the only.
But this is my second dad. I literally call him dad. I'll be texting him like, dad. He's like, what, me? I'm like, I got scammed. Like, help me. I need a lawyer. Help me. Somebody's trying to sue me. I need help. Like, what do you think about this? He's like, anytime I call this man, text this man, I get an instant response, no matter what it is. And mind you, I do check on him, but 90% of the time is because I'm in a fucking bind.
In a bind. Like, help, and save me.
I text him more than I text my real father about emergencies, you know, but this has turned into my, you know, industry dad, and I just love him so much.
Facts.
Our producer for Wildin' Out, you guys, Niall Evans, is here.
What's up? What's going on?
Boss man.
How are you?
Literally.
So
you
it's crazy.
Good.
It is crazy now, like, to have you in the hot seat, because it's like you executive produce Wildin' Out, you executive produce the podcast, so you're always the one like giving us a rundown on what we should be doing, but now it's like today we get to pick your brain.
It's
a very cool thing.
Yeah, I love having the opportunity to be on the other side of it for a change. So, you know, this is
how do you feel being interviewed? You're a celebrity today.
I hate being interviewed. I'm always the one writing interview questions or you know, setting up the interviews, but never on the other side of it, you know. And so it's always a different feel when someone's asking you stuff and then you're vulnerable. So you go, oh, man, I don't know what they're going to ask me. And I didn't prepare any questions for myself.
Right.
So I don't know what you guys are going to ask. And I know what I put both of you through.
So now we know who you are, obviously, but how did you start your career in TV? Like, tell us the beginning, like how you met Nick, where Wildin' Out, you know, came from, tell them the history. Cause I don't even think these new kids, like obviously we, it's a generation. I grew up watching Wildin' Out, but these younger kids that are, you know, preteens or younger than us, they don't know the history of this.
Right. We want to hear like when you were an intern, Niall. Like, what's up? Bring us back.
All right, tell
us how you met Nick and how you started in TV in the beginning of Wildin' Out. I know that's kind of a three-part question,
that's all
but
good.
Tell us the
it's
beginning.
All good. I could do that. So I started off underneath my uncle, his name is Bentley Kyle Evans, and he created the Jamie Foxx show. He was the executive producer at the end of Martin. And so he was a showrunner.
Wow.
And he ran that show. He was the youngest black executive producer to run two shows at the same time at the age of 27.
Wow. Oh, wow. So it's
27.
A successful
whole family
show. The Jamie Foxx show?
Yeah. Yeah. My aunt was a producer on The Parkers and a bunch of other shows.
That's
so
crazy.
It was in our family, and I grew up in L.A., so, you know, it was around. And so when I was 12, my uncle took me to see Do the Right Thing. And I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. I want to be Spike Lee. And so later on, when he started working in the industry, I would be like, yo, can I read the script for the Martin show? And I would read it. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And so I was in college and he said, and I couldn't go back to school. I had a hardship. My dad didn't pay the tuition. So, you know, cause I was playing basketball. I wasn't playing basketball anymore, so he had to take care of the tuition. He didn't take care of the tuition. So my uncle said, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm doing well, so I could either pay for school or you could come start working. He says, you got to make a choice.
Wow.
Call me back within 24 hours. And And I said, I need a tire for my car. I said, I'm gonna come down and start working. Yeah. And he sent me a couple dollars for my tire. And I was sleeping on his floor at his house. And I became a production assistant on the Jamie Foxx show.
Wow.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's so dope.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm now in the Hollywood shuffle. No degree. And so Will Smith comes to my uncle and says, yo, man, I got this kid, man, who's dope. And he reminds me of me. And I want to do a show for him. You want to collab on a show? And so I'm like, oh, snap. Will Smith coming to you about, you know, some little kid?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to go to the improv on Melrose. And he says.
With Will Smith?
No, Will wasn't there that day. That was when
I'm like, where was Jada?
No, so I
need all the details.
All the juice.
Right. There wasn't no red table talks then.
Right. Okay.
So we go to the improv and we see this young kid on stage killing. And he's murdering. He's 16 years old. And we meet him and my uncle's like, yeah, let's do this project. And so you know, we started the writing process, and I'm kind of a fly on the wall in the whole thing, but Nick is...
Was it Nick Cannon?
It was Nick. Nick's okay. On stage. And so, I forgot that part, huh? So it's a young Nick Cannon. And so, you know, we started the writing process, and I'm kind of a fly on the wall, but Nick is young. I'm young. I'm 20 years old. Nick is 16, about to be 17 or something like that.
Wow.
And so I'm like big brother to him because he's like, oh, a young voice who understands me.
Right.
You know, and so we kind of vibed on that. And Nick, you know, Nick was like, man, give me your number. And Nick was like this super persistent kid, right? And so he'd be like, he'd call me. He'd be like, yeah, man, what are you doing? Let's go to lunch. And I'd be like, Nick, I have to work. And Nick, that's just who he was. And
that's cool.
And he lived with Kenan at the time, Kenan Thompson. And they had
that is crazy.
They had a place. Right. I mean, this kid had a. I remember. I'll never forget. My uncle had a Range Rover, and this was like when Range Rovers were like a new thing in LA.
Right.
And Nick was like, "Yeah, I'm getting a Range Rover," and I was like, "Yeah, okay." And 2 days later, he had a black Range Rover, and I was like,
"He had a fucking Range Rover."
I was like, "Yo, that's nuts, right?"
Mind blown, right?
And this, you know, and so. You know, he was really doing it. He started off doing warm up over at Nickelodeon, and he was a budding guy. And so, my uncle and Will Smith ended up parting ways about the show. They just had differences of opinion, but Nick and I stayed in contact. So, you know, I was working on other pilots and stuff, and then there was a writer's strike, and the industry kind of shut down. And so I was working at an insurance company, and I was working there for about a year. And one day Nick calls me and says, yo, man, I got this thing called Drumline that's about to drop, and I just got a record deal. He's like, man, what are you doing?
Sheesh.
I was like, I'm working at this insurance company. I'm doing little pilots here and there, still working in the industry. He says, yo, man, why don't you come on the road with me and, you know, kind of like, you could be my, like, assistant slash security slash... Road manager slash.
So what's he trying to say? You a big scary looking dude.
Yeah, he was like, I just need somebody to come with
do
me.
Do something.
Right.
And,
that's
and,
so dope.
That I trust.
And just look after me while I'm out
here.
Wow. And he's
dope.
Like, I trust you. And so I was like, man, I want to be a writer, bro. I don't want to be that. Yeah, that ain't my thing.
Running around with a rapper.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. And so he was like, look, man, we'll write stuff together. While we're on the road, he says, I promise you, we'll end up doing something big. I promise you. And
wow.
So I was like,
wow.
That's crazy.
So the next day, the job calls me in and they're like, we're laying people off. And so Nick calls me the next day and he's like, yo, did my manager call you? I was like, nah, nobody called me. You know, sometimes it's just Hollywood stuff. Oh, man, I want to do this thing. And then it never really happens.
Yeah, and it never happens.
Right. So it's literally the day I get laid off, the next day. And he's like, man, my manager didn't call you. I'm going to put him on three-way. Can't get a hold of the manager. So I'm like, Now I'm packing up my stuff, leaving that night. Literally that night, the manager calls me. He's like, yo, man, you got a flight to Denver tomorrow to meet Nick. You're going to be on the road, so pack a bag. And I was gone for a month.
Wow.
That is amazing.
I was gone for a month. I never met, like, I probably made $26,000 that year. And in that first month, I ended up making 40 grand.
And wow.
Yeah, I became
I had another side.
I became a stylist. I did all these different things for him.
Everything.
Yeah. And then you know, I was on the road for a couple of years. And then, you know, we ended up writing a couple of movies together. We sold to Overbrook, to Will's company. And then, you know, Nick was doing a lot of TRL stuff. And MTV was like, oh, man, we got to do something with you. And Nick, the next day we went back to L.A. and Nick said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do an improv comedy game show. We're going to do Whose Line Is It Anyway? We're going to do Whose Line Is It Anyway? But black, our version of it. And I was like, oh, man, I thought we was going to do a sitcom. He was like, nah, like, this is what we're going to do. Trust me.
No.
And that was when I learned you got to trust Nick at all times.
Oh, wow.
What year did Wild and Out drop?
2000. We did the original pilot in 2004.
Wow.
Yeah, and I came off the road.
I was 14?
That's insane.
Yeah. My son, the first season we did the show, my son was born. So I always know how old the show was when I started.
It was the same year as your son?
Because my son is the same year. Like, my son is 16.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so.
You know what that story reminded me of? The Kanye West documentary that's on Netflix. The Genius. Like, as you were talking, I envisioned, like, that shit is just crazy. Like, y'all had a vision. Y'all had a plan. Y'all were literally manifesting 30 years ago.
Oh,
literally.
Man. Nick is the biggest manifester in the world. Nick is, I mean.
In the world.
Nick told me he was going to, before he had ever met Mariah Carey, he says, he told me this verbatim. If I ever get in a room with Mariah Carey, I'm going to marry her. And I'd laugh.
Wow. That's insane.
You were like, ah.
You're like, sure.
I laughed. And then 2 years later, I'm the best man watching this man marry Mariah Carey.
Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
We used to exchange books on the road all the time. We used to do a lot of reading. And so he gave me this book called Name It, Claim It. And it's by...
I'm about to put that in my notes.
Right, I was just thinking the same thing, B.
All about
I'm like, now don't yell at me for texting. Right. I'm texting it to myself.
Name
Give
it,
me a minute.
It.
It's all good.
All right now. Hold on.
And it's all about manifesting. It's all about if you name it, you can claim it. And Nick believes in this. And every time he says, when you say it, you will bring it to fruition.
Right.
And everything that man has said he wanted to do, he did.
Oh, I believe
He's
it.
Done.
I believe
everything,
it. It happens.
Everything. I manifested my wife. I manifested all kinds of things in my life. I manifested my house.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah,
that's
it's crazy.
It's crazy. Like 20 years ago, you guys started this idea and it's still going strong and honestly, arguably bigger than it's ever been.
Bigger than it's ever been. And it keeps
getting
bigger.
Bigger than it's ever been. Left
Every
came
time
back.
I see,
like, it's like, what?
Left came
on
back.
On tour?
And stronger.
Insane. Insane.
Huge tour. You know,
my first time going to the Wild and Out tour, I didn't understand the capacity of, I don't think I understood the impact it has on culture until I went to the tour.
I didn't understand it until I'm sitting in the Staples Center where Kobe, the house that Kobe made, and I see people
100%.
All the way up to the top.
100%.
We
sold
out the Staples Center and I'm sitting in the audience like a fan, like, I don't believe that I helped be a part of this thing. And it was
from the ground up.
Yeah.
From the ground up. And what's crazy is like with Wildin' Out, what's so different I feel than like most other shows or just brands, it's like our age range of fans is really from like 4 years old to like 104. Your granny, your great granny, and like the kids, like the young
they
kids.
Love
it's like,
it. They
how
love
do you,
it.
How do you create a show that goes through like so many generations?
Every generation.
How do you do that? Like, I can't even name another show that has that impact on all the generations.
Yeah, it's nuts that it's one of those shows that is like, you know, to me, it's an urban version of SNL. You know, it's like our Saturday Night Live. It's a proving ground for people to come on and be stars and showcase their talent. And you know, SNL, they 30 some years or something like that. Like, I feel like this is the same type of show that's a legacy show that could keep going on and on and on and on for a long time.
On and on and on.
Yeah.
So since you've known Nick for so long, what do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned from Nick?
Trust him.
Trust him.
Even when you don't believe it, you just got to go. Like I've learned, I go, all right, man, if that's what you want to do. Now, I will tell him, I'm one of the only people that will tell him a real opinion. I'll be like, no, you shouldn't do that.
For sure.
Right.
But I will trust him.
No, nigga.
I will. Yeah. All the time. I'll be like, nah, this is not what we're doing. But if he believes in it, I go, all right, I'll take the ride with you. I will take
it's
the ride with you.
It's something there, yeah.
It's always something there. And it's not about the money. It's because I know he has a great vision. And
he's a visionary.
He's a visionary. That dude is going to go out there and get it. And he sees something. And when he sees it, he goes after it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Y'all, it's getting good. We got to take a break. We'll be back with the Women of Wild Now podcast with our producer, Now Evans.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we back from our break, and it's your girl, JV, with my baby, B. Simone, and we got Niall Evans in the building. I'm going to just say right now, this is one of my favorite episodes because we get to hear from the boss, the man himself, who started the show with Nick Cannon like 20 years ago, and it's been so cool rocking out and hearing all the details of your life, Niall. You raised us, and it's cool now we get to hear about you.
So before we get into the juicy stuff, me and Justina are going to share our first memories of you. And then I would love for you to share your first memories of us.
Let's go.
So my first memory, of Niall was auditioning for Wildin' Out. After the audition, my first memory was the workshops. So my first year workshops, y'all, let me tell y'all something. Workshops were not easy. It was like a boot camp. It was very serious. It was very militant. And I respect that to this day. But when you're in that moment, your first season, it wasn't like it was my third season, my second season, my first chance at this shit. That first season of workshops was very stressful for me. I cried. I laughed. But Niall pushed me to my limit. And now looking back in hindsight, of course, I respect it. I value it. It really made me, you know, the comedian I am today. I think that workshop prepared me for stand-up.
Right.
But, y'all, I was scared of this nigga. I ain't gonna lie.
Right.
I was like, yo, like, when I say sweating, walking in there, like, don't talk to me. I'm focused. I'm practicing. Niall was not, y'all, now he's like a little, you know, little teddy bear. Before, he was like a grizzly bear.
Right.
My first memory of Niall is him being like very militant, didn't take any bullshit, but it was because he was pulling the best out of you. And I truly believe that is why that workshop that year and Wildin' Out in general helped me become the comedian I am today. That workshop was very intimidating. I'm not going to lie.
Yes. You know, the workshops are tough. It's one of those things where it's a proving ground. It's we're trying to see if you're going to be able to stand up to the rigors of this show. And, you know, and a couple of, you know, I think you had a couple of goes at it, and it was rough.
Yeah.
And I love comedy, but I want people to get it right. And most people don't ever have to, you know, they work on their stand-up set and they're just naturally funny. But when you have to be funny on a team, it's a little different. And so I have to kind of coach and kind of help you out and help you understand the games and how the show works. And so, and then you're dealing with a bunch of comedians and rappers and everybody wants to be funny. And you got to be like,
crazy,
hey, shut
wild,
up.
Funny,
and,
you know, yep. Shut up.
Sit down. Yep. Let's listen. Let me explain this game to you so that you can play it the right way. So, you know, it's tough, but you know, you made it through and you are.
We made it, man.
Made it.
It really is. Like, the workshops really are a war zone. And, like, even to this day, there are certain vets conceded who, like, literally will do anything and everything to avoid a workshop because, you know, that really is a place where Niall's like, I don't care how many seasons you've been on. I don't care how.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care how good you are. Like, you know, this workshop is determining your episode, you know, how many you'll get. But for me, when I first met Niall, I'll never forget, it was when I auditioned, it was Niall and Shelby, and it was just me and them in a room. And yeah, they had me do like a certain number of games. Like, they had me do like a Let Me Holla. And then now I was like, okay, well, I know you could, you know, freestyle. We saw the video. So I want you to freestyle right now about toaster strudels.
So he was like, I know you fucking killed it.
Yeah. He said toaster strudels.
I was like, I'm gonna throw something out of nowhere. Something weird.
So he said that, and I was like, okay, so I came, I sang a hook.
Killed
it. I made a hook, and then I made a whole song with a whole story, like whole storytelling. I was on my Nas-ish, and I just knew. You could, from the second I met Nas, like, I knew he was, like, the guy in charge. Like, he just has, like, he's just a big dude with a powerful voice. I'm like, okay, he's the one who's about to make the decision if I'm going to be on the show. But I knew at my audition, I just knew I smashed it. And then he was like, I don't know if you remember this now. You were like, okay, now I want you to do a wild style, go against Nick Cannon. I was like, and I asked you, I said, Nick's going to see this, right? He said, yeah. I said, give me someone else. So he gave me he gave me Meek Mill. So I did a wild style against Meek Mill. You know, that was the very first time I met Niall. And he definitely, like you said, B, he definitely has that coach vibe. He's running the plays. He's very authoritative and, or however you say the word, authoritative.
But it's out of love.
It's out, like, of love. Tough love. It's out of love. But
because he truly, truly believes in you.
Yes, yeah. He does.
No, do that shit again.
And and I've always been on teams, so I love having a coach. Like, I work well having a coach and someone giving direction. So I've always loved that about Niall. Don't get me wrong. He is scary at times, but I love how he's that very strict, stern, like, bring you in, going to give you the tough love, but get you right. Yep.
Yeah. Tough love is the way I kind of give everything. And it's all out of love. It's the first, it should be love tough because it's always starting with love. But you know, a lot of times in the industry, people will tell you, oh, yeah, you're doing fine. Oh, yeah, okay, no, that was great. That was great. And they'll tell you that was great. And then you go out on stage and then you realize it wasn't great. And so,
oh my God,
I don't want anybody to go out there and me not be honest with them and me say, that didn't make me laugh. You know, you'll hear in the room if it makes people laugh. And if it doesn't, 100%. Let's try it again. And what, you know, a lot of comedians never really have is a coach or anybody to say, that didn't work. They go on stage and they find out if it worked or not. And hopefully they figure it out and go, oh, let me retool or rewrite that joke.
Or tweak it or punch it up.
Yeah, but you realize that a lot of people stay in the same place because there's nobody pushing them.
Yeah.
And so I just always want to push you guys to the fullest of your potential because I know what it is. If I'm on you, that means that I see something inside of you that I know is great. And I just have to, I just got to help pull it out of you. And I'm going to challenge
you.
I'm just going to challenge you at every level. I'm going to be like, just, oh, if you don't want to get money, that's fine. You know, you don't want to do that.
Man, that's his favorite thing. Yeah. If you don't want to be great, that's fine. Money. You can have a seat. If you don't want to get money, that's fine. You can have a seat. I'll be like, fuck, I have $200 in my account. Let me try.
Let me in. You know that's what it is? People are used to yes men, and you're like the furthest thing from that. So people are not always used to that. It could be a bit abrasive when you're used to people just telling you you're great. Then you get a Niall Evans telling you you're good, but you could be better.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, if you're in front of Niall, you have something. You get what I'm saying? So if you're there, you have something. If you're there, you are great. You have talent. You have something. But Niall is like, this ain't enough.
Right. Yeah.
It's 20 of y'all here. We only need 8. Don't play.
That's like, it.
Who wants to stay?
Right.
Show me you want to stay.
And if you don't create a competitive environment, then people just think that, oh, I could just walk in
get
and do
comfortable.
Whatever. You know what I mean? And I go, when you're a starter, when you come in every time and we know you're going to play all the time, then you can kind of rest a little bit. But until then,
yeah,
you're fighting for a spot. And so it just makes people step up. And when I see people step up, and I've seen both of you step up to the fullest of the capacities, and I go, oh, look at that. Look what that little bit of, okay, yeah, you had to cry a little bit. Yeah, you had to be talked to in a way that you didn't, you're not used to, because see, you outside of here, you're a star. But in that workshop, I go, I don't care about any of that. All I want you to do is
now
be
better. Like, I don't give a fuck about your YouTube views.
He don't
I can
care.
Give a fuck less. You're not he on TV, care. Baby.
That's it.
I'd be like, oh my God.
That's well, the it, funny because thing there's is, no audition process for the phone. Everybody can get on the phone and do something, but TV is a different thing.
It's a different beast. And even like the season now where like you guys brought in like a lot of influencers, you know, basically what you said was proven, like you can be great when you have your phone and you could do 50 takes, but you were like, can you be great once in front of an audience, not being able to chop it up how you like?
Right.
Can you just be great first take, one take?
And that's real.
You could shoot, you know, when you're in a room by yourself or with one of your friends and you can do it over and over again, it should be great. It should be the funniest thing ever. You know what I mean? It should be, you know, if you're putting it out. But if you are, you know, if you're in a room with 10 other people who are just as talented as you, and, you know, you have to show that you're a cut above. You know, you have something different. You are not run of the mill. And I think that's where people get caught up, is they go, oh, I could just be average. And I go, well, the stars usually stand out. You know, and some people are complacent with being average. You know, like, you know, when you see a DC Young fly, I was like, oh, that's LeBron James coming into the league.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
100%.
You know, when I saw Justina, I was like, oh, man. With some coaching? I was like, because she's a rapper. And with some 100%. Coaching, she's going to be fine. And you know, Justina went through it a few times. And we used to, what do we used to dog you about all the time?
Oh, that I wouldn't shut the fuck up.
You They'd just like, would all right, keep all right,
you just keep rapping, keep rapping. Remember that one workshop where they twisted my head to kill me? And I was dead on the floor, and then I popped up. I just keep rapping and rapping. I'm never capping. I'm shopping.
At that moment was when I knew you got it.
I understood.
You understood, because I was like, you'll rap because you know how, but I know it's still a comedy show.
There has to be an out.
We gotta get to a joke.
And I feel like that's what you do now, like with all of us. Like you'll hone our craft and what we're good at, and just show us like, okay, you have it, but you need to be polished. Like you find that's us as a little, like, you know what I mean, a little diamond in the rough, and then you clean us up. And then, you know, we just, the people that get it take the ball. Yeah, we take the ball and run with it after you give us the play.
Yeah, and some people need more.
Y'all, we got to take a break. Stay tuned for more of the Women Wild Now podcast. Don't go nowhere. We got more questions for now.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We back up at it. It's your girl, Justina Valentine, here with my sis, B. Simone. And we have a very special guest with us this week, the executive producer, boss man, the wildin' out dad, Nile Evans.
Okay, so what's your first memory?
My first memory of you?
Us.
Okay, I'll go. Who wants to be first?
Be nice.
So I remember seeing B. Simone, and I remember I can see how your hair was. Your hair was actually down the first time I saw you.
Bone straight, jet black, middle part. Y'all know that was me. Long week.
And I was like, oh, she's cute. She's kind of funny. And I was
this in New York now?
I think this was in New York. And I was like, there's something there. And Nick was like, there's really
no,
you know what? Nick at first was like, I don't see it.
He didn't believe.
And you know, Dolly was the one that was like, nah, there's really something there. And I was like, all right, cool.
Wow.
And you know,
wow.
we didn't have a lot of, you know, it was hard to find a really funny female at the time. And not that there aren't funny females, but we weren't getting them. And so
That fit,
you know. And so it was like, you know, you were buzzing a little bit online, and I remember you were buzzing a little bit, but you, when you came back another season, we were like, when the B. Simone tone came, it was
when they brought it to Atlanta. Yeah,
that was it.
That was wild.
That was it. And so I remember I think we gave you a few episodes, and then I don't know if did we let you go, and then you came back.
Y'all let me go.
And then you came back. And then when you came back, it was, you were different. You came back with a whole
she
new
different.
Thing.
Oh, she
and
different.
And I was just like, and then when I saw the stuff online, I said,
because I was like, I'm not getting cut again. Like, y'all got me fucked up.
Oh, you said it. You were like, I've done this too many times. I'm not getting cut again. And I was like, that was the energy that I wanted.
That's the point. Yeah,
that was
that's
it.
The point.
That's
yeah.
the energy that I want. And you were like, I've been here too many times. I'm coming in. And you smashed the workshop. You smashed
that was
the
fun.
Workshop. Was that in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I was scared.
Was that in Brooklyn?
I think that was in Brooklyn.
New York, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You came in and you smashed the workshop. And I was just like, oh, next level. And still, Nick was like,
Nick was like, for a while.
He was on the fence for a while. He was like, I don't know if I see it. I like her.
Yep.
Love her as a person.
Yep.
I don't
yep.
see it yep. though. And then you just had that breakout season, and it was just like, oh, okay. And then sometimes it takes a while, because, you know, I'm the same way. With some of Nick's picks, I'll be like, they're cool. Yeah. And then I go, oh, okay, now I see what you're saying.
Once they get on stage and deliver and have fun and, you know.
Yeah, and once you got comfortable with it, it was out of here. It was like, oh. And then almost by that time, you were like, I'm ready to leave.
She was like, my B. Simone tone is worldwide at this point.
Listen.
She was like, baby girl, use me or don't. I don't care.
That was it.
You know what it is? No, Wild 'N Out is always family. Like, you never get enough seasons
always
of Wild 'N Out. You always want to come back. Always. But what it is I think when I started doing stand-up, I fell in love with that shit. But Wild 'N Out prepared me for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a proving
Like,
ground.
It really did.
Yeah.
It prepared me for stand-up comedy. That is a different fucking world. Like,
it is.
Getting in front of 30,000 people, like, you're either going to hear a roaring wave of laughs in an arena, or you're going to hear that fucking cricket
that
and be
cricket,
like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And you get to see that, and you get to prove yourself on stage. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of comedians are like, oh, well, these influencers come in, and then they start doing stand-up. And it's like, well, if you've been on the Wild 'N Out stage and dealt with either the booze or the you ain't mm-hmm, hurting the crickets,
the buzzer,
you know, dealing with
the
people
roasting,
laughing
yep.
at you because you had a bad joke.
Yep.
Trust me, going on stage is going to be easy after that.
Right.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You should be fine.
It just like sharpens your swords. Like, even like, you know, when I did the Five Fingers of Death on Sway, and I was the first chick to really spit a real freestyle, I just came off a season of Wild 'N Out. I was like, I've been doing this 2 weeks straight. What you want to talk about? I don't need nothing. Rain, come on, Sway. Give me the word. He's like, oh, you just gonna freestyle? I said, this is what I do. Like, I just came off a season of Wild 'N Out. Like, I just came
Fire.
From boot camp. Like, what you want to hear about?
Fire.
Right.
It just prepared you.
I remember that first, the first season that we had you, Justina, and I was just like, And that first audition, I can almost remember exactly what you had on, because you had, your hair was back.
Bun. How
yes.
Vina always tells me to wear it.
Yes.
Up in a bun.
I love it, the bun.
And I remember you came in and I was like, oh, she's got it. We're fine. I remember being like,
wow.
No, you're good. She raps
like
the
instantly.
Way she raps. Because I was like, I'm going to throw toaster strudel at you. And then you killed it. Toaster strudel. And then you killed it. And I was like, okay, you're good. And then we got to the workshop. I was like, okay, you can rap. I get it. And then I was like, all right, you can rap. I get it. You got to get to a joke. And that was the thing that I knew. I was like, you have this amazing skill. If we just work on this getting to a joke part, we're going to be fine.
And you want to know something you did, Niall? You know something you did? I don't know if you remember this. So you gave me the toaster strudel, right? When it was the audition, just you, me, and Shelby. So then the next audition we did was, because my first audition was single. I don't know how yours was, B, but the second audition was a group of us, like 30 of us.
Yeah.
So Nick was at that one. So we did a bunch of stuff, and then you gave us a topic, and then you gave everyone like a minute to make something up, so everyone's in their phones. So you went around the room, and when you came to me, you gave me toaster strudel again.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it, because I wanted some new, and I didn't even remember what I said. I was like, oh, I was like, I think you might have gave me that in my first one. So you looked at me, you're like, oh, this bitch is really about this action. So right, then you gave me like a whole new topic. And then, you know, that's what I did in that workshop.
What it was I was like, I saw what you did with toaster strudel. I
want the network to
see that. And I wanted to see that. And so I was like, in my mind, I was like, you got it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's here for you to lose. And I don't want you to lose this. So just put toaster strudel again. And then I think
she was like, hell, give me something new.
Yeah. And then I think you had, did I give you something else?
You gave me a name brand. I think it was like Gucci or Fendi or something. And of course I did a long ass freestyle about it. And the rest of the room was like, when I was done, they started clapping. They're like, is it on iTunes? Cause you know, I went crazy. Yeah. And then,
she went nuts. And it was just like,
oh my God, Justina.
I was already sold. Me and Nick were already sold. And it was just like, okay, well, there it is. Like,
but then it came to Wild Style and everyone was scared. So I let a few people go. Then I went be someone. I did Machine Gun just across the whole line on the other team.
Nobody wanted that smoke.
I was like, all right, let me go crazy. Nick, and I remember Nick went down the line, gave everyone dabs, but I was the only one he said something to. He's like, where are you from? I was like, Jersey. He was like, all
right. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a that's done fire. Deal. It was a done deal.
It's been so dope getting to know the boss man now, Evans, even more. But you know what? It's a lot more things that we got to get into. So we're going to be back next week with a part two. Make sure y'all tune in to hear more about the executive producer of Wildin' Out and the Women of Wildin' Out podcast, Niall Evans. We'll see y'all next week.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.